Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is reading of God's word. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory and honor and power. For you are our God. You are our Savior and Lord and King. And we are here to worship you, and we are here to hear your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, hear your voice through your word, telling us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow, and with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ and his kingdom, the reality of that kingdom through our lives. Oh Father, receive all the glory, even as we hear your word. Bless your people. Let us be more and more like your Son. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You and I, we live by faith. And faith enables us to acknowledge and accept and believe what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us sinners. Faith enables us to trust our God and to entrust our lives to him. And faith enables us to witness our eternal heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus has accomplished. But we see how weak and little our faith is. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. We truly want to witness through our faith Jesus Christ and the reality of heaven that he has accomplished for us. We want to show to the whole world that we are truly the citizens of heaven. But we are so often disappointed, discouraged, to see how weak and little our faith is. It seems to us often that it is just impossible to live the life that our God requires us to live. Thus, we pray every single day just like the father of a boy who was possessed with an evil spirit in Mark chapter 9. I do believe. Help my unbelief. We, like the disciples, cry out to God in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, increase our faith. We fail and we sin. And often we feel that the power of this sinful world and the power of sin are so great that we just cannot help but to go with the sinful world and sin. difficulties come, worries come, sufferings come, and we sin. And we are truly sorry to God, and we make our minds again and try harder, but we are not confident, and we fail, and we sin again. If this sounds like you, because it does sound like me, then I want you to know that God gave His Word, the Bible, to you, to such people of God. God gave the Bible to all of those who wonder if living the life of the citizens of heaven here on earth is really possible. God gave the Bible to all those who wonder as they see their lives if they are truly God's sons, the citizens of heaven who exist for the glory of God, who wonder if I am truly God's son, then why am I like this? The Bible is written for you. The recipients of the letter to the Hebrews were persecuted greatly. And as the persecutions and the sufferings prolonged, they became weak. As temptations constantly tempted them, they became weak. Thus, they lived constantly under the temptation to compromise their faith for a more comfortable life here on earth. Even today, Satan and the world, with all their might, reject Jesus Christ and the reality of heaven and its eternal glory. And they persecute the believers. If seen through the eyes of this sinful world, then the Christianity and the Christians are truly weak. If we do not see through faith, then we will see the same thing that the sinful world sees. The Bible teaches us that the faith comes from hearing of God's word. That is what the Bible teaches. Thus, you and I, we must come back to the Bible again and again. We must meet our Lord Jesus Christ through the Bible. Through the Bible, through the Word of God, we must see our eternal reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We must, through the Bible, through the Word of God, see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom again and again and again. We must believe Jesus, believe our God and Lord and Savior. There is no other way. Hear what God says to you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. First thing I want you to notice is that God says that there is this great, a cloud of witnesses. Now, if we read the whole letter to the Hebrews, we are able to realize that these people include all we meet in chapter 11, the faith chapter. We have all these great brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, how they live their lives by faith. This encourages us, because even as you try your best to live as a true Christian, We feel often that we are the only ones. Just like Elijah, thinking that he was the only one. But God says, there are 7,000 more people. Yes, it is very hard to live as a Christian in this world, especially if you understand the true Christian, how he is, according to the Bible. But what I want you to understand is that there were many, many people before us who lived this life. Not because they were great, not because they were stronger than us, not because they're better than us. But chapter 11 of Hebrews tells us that they lived by faith. Faith is what made them live like that. And we're going to see in verse 2 that the perfecter and the author of that faith is Jesus Christ. So the point of chapter 11 of Hebrews is not that these people were great, but that they lived by faith. And that faith that they lived by, that faith, creator of that faith is Jesus Christ, and the perfecter of that faith is also Jesus Christ. Which means that God, Jesus Christ, poured out His grace upon so many people so that they may live this very life that we're trying to live. So yes, no, it's not just you. There are many, many people ahead of us, and there were many, many people who will come after us who will live the very same life that you and I are trying to live in Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, these people were persecuted and they suffered greatly in this world. But for the glory of God, they did not even love their life, even when faced with death. Let me read just the last part of chapter 11. I'm going to read from verse 32. After the author lists all these great people of the Old Testament, starting from Adam and all the way, it's not starting from Adam, Abel and Cain. Well, Cain is not a great person of the Old Testament. But all these great people of the Old Testament, then starting from verse 32, this is what he says. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Zephthah, the David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to fight, women received back their dead by resurrection. And up to this point, it sounds pretty good. Victorious life. But he continues. And others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourging, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. A cloud of witness, great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Brothers and sisters, if you feel that you are suffering because of your faith, you're not alone. It was never like that. There was no time in history that people of God were not suffered because of their faith. And we see here the grace of God, how God enables His people to live this very life. And He will enable you to live this life. The Bible witnesses that there were a great number of these people. All have ran the race that were set before them. Brothers and sisters, realize that we too have the race that is set before us. That is what verse 1 tells us. We have the race that is set before us, and we must run this race. Which means that we were created by God and recreated by God for a definite purpose. Brothers and sisters, I want you to realize that you have a purpose. And that purpose is the glory of God. And of course, this race cannot be run by our strength and our ability. We must run by faith. The Bible in many places compares the life of a believer to a race. This race is run by every Christian. No one is not participating, not even one. Because if you are not running this race, then you are not a Christian. All Christians run this race. Now, how that race is expressed in life, everybody's different. But we are running the same race. If you truly understand this race according to the Bible, then you will not want to be left out. It is actually truly our honor to run this race. We run for the glory of God. We run for His pleasure. I mean, you do understand. A runner. Look at his life as he prepares for a race. Like in the Olympics. All who run just has one purpose. Everyone who runs has his or her eyes on winning and the glory that accompanies winning. There cannot be any other focus or purpose. It's just driven, these runners are driven by one purpose. And it is not just when they are running, but even when they are practicing, same purpose and same focus. Even their everyday life has the same focus and same purpose. Now you understand why God compares our Christian life as a race. One purpose and one focus. It's to win for God's pleasure. And obviously, you have to understand this winning according to the Bible. Jesus triumphant by dying on the cross. So do not understand this winning in terms of how this world thinks of it. But we run to win for God's pleasure. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, let me read that to you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. People who run, everything they do is in terms of this race, because that's their focus. St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, I press on toward, he runs toward what? I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You run. He runs for an upward call, heavenly call. And this is what our life is all about. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what you're running toward in your life. What is your purpose and what is your goal? But learn from God's word. There were many, many people ahead of you who lived this life, and they gladly ran, joyfully ran this race. But we must understand that it says, with endurance we must run, which shows us that it is not an easy race. Definitely not. We need endurance, we need faith. Because during this race, you will face with all kinds of obstacles, all kinds of temptations. Temptations to stop the race and look around and enjoy this world. You need endurance, you need faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, I will read to you verse 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. This is by the end of his life. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. He ran all the way to the end. I have kept the faith. Yes, faith is one that is absolutely necessary to finish this race. In the future, there is laid up for me, he's talking about the prize of winning that race. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Very interesting way to put it. This crown of eternal life, crown of righteousness, will be given to those who love his appearing, his second coming. And because of the race is for the glory of God, we cannot run this race our way by our method in our own time. We must run according to God's pleasing will. Because the whole purpose is to please God. And in this race, we cannot run with baggage in our hands. Thus, verse 1 says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Beautiful picture that he draws for us. We must lay aside the baggage of this world. We must lay aside the greed and sinful ambitions of this world. We must lay aside the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. We must fight our sins as we run. We must fight the temptation to compromise our faith as we run. Brothers and sisters, you have a race to complete. You cannot look around when you run this race. So many people just don't get it. They don't realize that they have a race. Or sometimes they actually believe that they're in a different race, a race with non-Christians. You know, they run too, but for a different purpose, for a different goal. Yes, I think the first thing you really need to make sure is that you are in a right race. Then if you are in a right race, in the right race, then have your focus on the finish line and run. Never look back. But brothers and sisters, it's not just you. You know, I'm the preacher, so I preach the standards of the Bible. And I'm just like you. I fall very short. You know, every time you hear me preach, realize that I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm not preaching my life. You know, don't sit there and say, oh, how about you? Of course, I don't do it either. But what do you want me to do? Preach my life or preach what the Bible says? We simply do not have the confidence to run this race. That's the truth. And when we see how we live and how we are right now, we just do not see the prospect of successfully finishing this race. We are very much tired and discouraged. And that's where we find ourselves. Again, the Bible is written for you and for me, who are very tired and who are discouraged. Whenever that happens, verse 2a, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. There's the solution. Whenever you're tired, whenever you're discouraged, whenever you feel like you just cannot go on anymore, the solution that God gives us is that you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of faith. Yes, we must run by faith, and Jesus Christ our Lord is the author and perfecter of that faith. Just as a runner has his or her eyes on the finish line, we must fix our eyes on Jesus as we run. Nothing else will do. No one else can help you. No one. The author of faith. Now, that phrase, author of faith, has two meanings. First, just like what I've been saying to you, that he is the creator of that faith. Author of faith, creator of that faith. But the second meaning that it could have is that if he is author of faith, then he is the champion of faith. Or that he is the leader of faith. You could understand it that way. Both are correct. Yes, he is the author of faith. He is the creator of faith. But he is also the leader and the champion of faith. And the phrase perfecter of faith also has two meanings. First, that he perfects the faith that he has created in us. Just like I've been saying, you understand that way. That he perfects that faith because he is God. And he is the creator of that faith. But second way of understanding is that he is the one that perfectly showed us what is the perfect faith is. Perfecter of faith. He showed us that perfect faith. Both are true. Now, we need to be careful when we talk about faith of Jesus Christ. You know, it's not like he needs faith to be saved. But nevertheless, if we exclude that, you know, sin and he needs to be saved part, he had perfect faith in his Father. And he showed how a person who has the perfect faith lives. He showed it to us. All are correct. We will understand these two phrases in everything that we just said. He is the author and the perfecter of faith. And you must have your eyes fixed on him. This race that we are on, Jesus himself has run, he ran this race before us. Actually, it is his race. He has already ran this race perfectly for you and for me. How did he run his race perfectly? Verse 2b, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. This is how he ran that race perfectly. For the joy that has been set before him, he endured the cross. Now, what is the joy that was set before him as he dies on the cross? The joy of coming down from the cross and being with his disciples? No. What was his joy when he was dying on the cross? That joy that was set before him. It's a heavenly joy. What is he doing? He's saving his people. Why? So that he could be with his people in heaven. The joy of being with his Father in heaven. And joy of being with his people in heaven. That's the joy that was set before him. And the Bible tells us that he endured the cross for that joy. If this is how Jesus endured, then how could we endure in our race if not Jesus himself and the reality of heaven? If Jesus endured the cross looking forward to heaven, how else are we going to endure? So this verse tells us that there are two focuses, but it's one focus. Two, Jesus Christ, fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ and the joy of heaven. But it's actually one focus because heaven without Jesus is not heaven at all. So when you say joy of heaven, obviously it is Jesus Christ. When you seek heaven, you are seeking Jesus. Because why would you want to go to heaven if there is no Jesus there? So how can you seek heaven without Jesus? Impossible. So understand, seeking heaven is seeking Christ. We are fixing our eyes upon Jesus. And understand, fixing our eyes on Jesus and fixing our eyes on the joy of heaven enable us to endure. Endure with joy. This is the secret that you must understand and believe. Nothing else will do it for you. Oh yeah, you think you might be joyous when you get a pay raise or what, but it doesn't last. The maximum years any of your earthly joy will last is about 100 years, that's it. Maximum. But we're talking about eternal joy. Joy that never ends. And only way that you endure in this race is to fix your eyes upon Jesus Christ and his kingdom. That's the only way. That's how Jesus did it. Psalm 16 verse 8 says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Yes, Jesus Christ our Lord has finished the race. All is done and all has been accomplished. Verse 2c says, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He sat down. He finished this race and he sat down. All is done. All is finished for you. We too will finish this race. However impossible it might look to you, you will finish this race successfully because of Christ. You must believe it. You must fix your eyes upon Jesus, meaning that you believe that he has finished this race for you. And he gives you this faith, and he is the perfecter of that faith. He is the author of that faith. Spiritually, we have already finished this race. You have already crossed the finish line. Spiritually, you're sitting at right hand of God with Christ in heavenly places. But we must still run this race. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, it is a trustworthy statement. For if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Man, just beautiful, beautiful verse. Look. You know, look at how things go here. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, you expect, then he's going to just abandon us. But that's not what it says. Even if we are faithless, even if our faith is so little, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. Once he chosen you, have confidence. He who that began that good work in you will finish. Finish that work in you. No matter how much impossible it looks to you. Man, just if nothing, just remember that phrase. Even if I'm faithless, he is faithful. Revelation chapter 3 verse 21, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He finishes race, and what does God promise? That you will finish your race, and you will also sit down at the throne of God. Never lose focus on this. Spiritually, you have already finished, and you are already sitting down at God's throne. You must believe. That's how you finish. You believe. Jesus ran perfectly the race, and that for us, we are now invited to participate in this race, the faith that our Lord Jesus Christ has created in us and perfecting in us will enable us to successfully finish this race. We will win. And even believe that we are winning even now in Jesus Christ. Even as you look at your life and just wonder, what is wrong with me? Am I really Christian? Even as you think like that, believe you are winning if you trust Christ. One verse, and let's end this. Luke chapter 22. And whenever you are so tired and discouraged, read this verse, Luke chapter 22. This verse is for you. Luke chapter 22, verse 32. I'm going to read verse 31. Simon, Simon, Peter, right? Behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Satan came and asked for permission to just completely destroy Peter, completely destroy his faith. Verse 32, but I have prayed for you, he's saying to Peter, that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned away, strengthen your brothers. And this is even when he knew that Peter would deny himself three times. That story follows what we just read. Even when he knew Peter would deny Jesus Christ three times, he says, I pray that your faith will not fail. Ultimately, it was Jesus' prayer for Peter enables Peter to run his race successfully. That same Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, that same Jesus is praying for you. And that Jesus is praying that your faith will not fail. Even as you might deny God time to time, ultimately your faith will not fail because Jesus is praying for you. You must believe. You must trust Him. This is the only way you're going to finish this race. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. That's it. That's the only way. As you come to His table today, fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Meet Him who has already ran this race perfectly for you. And with the joy of Jesus Christ and the joy of heaven, let us endure as we run our race by faith, faith in Jesus Christ. I will see you at the finish line. Let us all greet one another beyond that finish line. We will be there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, amazing grace that You pour out to us. Yes, You call us to run this race, but Your Son, Jesus Christ, has already ran this race for us. And because our union with Him, spiritually, we have already finished this race and we are still running this race. Yes, Father, many times because of our lack of faith, we are tired and we are discouraged, but let us fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let us trust Him. Let us trust Him all the way beyond that finish line. He will never forsake us. He will never abandon us. He will carry us all the way to the finish line. We thank You, God. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.